It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
See, now I just saw a post from the New York Post. A tweet from the New York Post. A post from the New York Post sounds weird. All right, 106, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Saquon Barkley makes NFL MVP case as he carries Eagles to a win with unreal Thursday night second half. Do you think Saquon Barkley is going to be the MVP? Like, honestly... makes an NFL MVP case. Did he overtake Henry? Is he even the leading rusher in the NFL? With unreal second half, it was two runs that I'm not even sure he was touched on either of them. I was more impressed with last week's backwards hurdle than I was with any particular run he had today. Or yesterday now. I don't know. He's not the NFL MVP. He's not. He's not the NFL MVP. Makes a case for the NFL MVP. That's the New York Post trying to stick it to Giant fans. He's not going to win the MVP. He doesn't deserve to win the MVP. He's having a career year. He's a great player. MVP. 888-808-1019. Sal and Bethpage. What's up, Sal?
Hey, Big Mac. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I got to tell you, you are the best. You should be on daytime. Now,
that's very kind of you. Thank you.
I have a couple of things. I always agree with you, but I have a couple of things.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you them. I'll hang up, and I want your answer.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
First thing is, and I wasn't even going to say this, we know if Barkley was on the Giants, he would have broke his leg the first game. So let's move on.
Well.
Now, listen, Daniel Jones with Sherma, forget about Dayball, was the best Daniel Jones. Now let's move on. Here's my questions.
Okay.
If Daniel Jones was on the Steelers, this is the first question.
Mm-hmm.
Don't answer. What would their record be? Secondly, if Tomlin was our coach,
yes,
what would our record be? I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Okay. I would say the Steelers would be worse and the Giants would be better. Would the Steelers season be over? Would they be 2-8 with Daniel Jones? Probably not. Probably not. They're a better team and they're a better coach. Listen, you're talking about one of the premier NFL coaches, and like Mike Tomlin is one of the great head coaches, arguably in the history of the league. He's an unbelievable head coach. There's no doubt about it. I think Brian Dable should stay. If Mike Tomlin wants to come, I'll gladly fire Brian Dable. Mike Tomlin is an incredible head coach. He's done a remarkable job in Pittsburgh. So would he be better? I guess the Giants would be better, yes, even with Daniel Jones. They win a couple more games. I don't know if they're a playoff team with Daniel Jones. Not the way he's playing right now. I don't think it's that much of a difference either way. You don't think Russell Wilson's played better? I know they won some games with their defense, and Justin Fields had some moments early on in the season, but watch Russell Wilson the last couple weeks. He hasn't played better than Daniel Jones. It's not even close. It's not even close how much better Russell Wilson has played than Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones was the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they would not be as good as they are right now. They would not have the same record. They wouldn't. Daniel Jones has been awful, guys. What do you think? Like, what do you really? I mean, it's unbelievable to me that we still try and defend this guy. It's unbelievable to me. I don't understand it. Like, I really don't understand how you could still try and defend Daniel Jones. It drives me up a wall. I'm not saying you have to say, look, he's awful. He's the worst thing ever. He'll never be good anywhere else. Like, you don't have to take it to an extreme. If you feel like the Giants have broken him, that's fair, but he's broken. How could you, like, what do you think? Like, watch him play now. Watch him play now. There are throws in clean pockets that are atrocious. He has let them down in so many games this year. Even in games that he hasn't played horrible in, he doesn't make the big game-winning throw. He never makes the big game-winning play. Ever. Ever. Man, I don't know what, I don't know why. I mean, I think we're just so offensive line obsessed. That's the only thing I can think of. The only thing I can think of has been such a problem for so long for the New York Giants, and the New York Giant fan in particular is a team that, you know, is a fan base that, for whatever reason, because of previous winning teams, like the defensive line and offensive line was such an integral part of the two Super Bowls with Eli Manning, going back to the defensive front with the 86 team, like, for whatever reason. You know, the Giants really haven't won games with these unbelievable offenses. They didn't win a Super Bowl with the greatest show on turf, or, you know, like they've won it in the trenches. So Giant fans are obsessed with the trenches, and I understand it's very important. And the offensive line has absolutely been the Achilles heel and caused them more than anything else. Not arguing it. But we're so obsessed with offensive line that the minute the offensive line isn't a dominant force or some sort of great top five offensive line, we just say, oh, well, what do you expect the quarterback to do? What do you expect Daniel Jones to do? Play better. Even with a lousy offensive line, play better. Help the offensive line. Not be the guy who doesn't move the tight end over to help block Watt against those Pittsburgh Steelers. Not be that guy. Not realize there's going to be an unblocked edge rusher coming off the side and allow him to absolutely blindside you. Be a quarterback in the NFL. Recognize these things. That's what I expect. Especially from someone, the amount of years he's played and the price tag next to his name. I expect those things. Because if you think all the good quarterbacks in this league are only good because they have great offensive lines, you're not seeing it. You're not watching fairly. These guys overcome poor offensive lines. Some guys do it to a better extent than others. Some teams have the great offensive line with the great quarterback. Okay. And without question, I'm not taking blame away from the Giants from being unable to build an offensive line. But stop making it seem like it's okay that this offense, that you are more likely to see Haley's Comet than a 30-point game. Stop making it okay that they don't score touchdowns at home. Stop making it okay that Daniel Jones doesn't throw touchdowns just because the offensive line isn't very good. That's unacceptable. It's atrocious quarterback play. And I'm tired of hearing about this over and over again. I'm tired of the excuses. There is no amount of lack of weapons. There is no offensive line play. There's nothing that justifies the ineptitude that this offense has been underneath Daniel Jones. There's no amount of coaching. There's no amount of offensive line play. There's no amount of lack of weapons. There's no reason why the offense should consistently, year in and year out, be the lowest scoring offense in the NFL. A good quarterback wouldn't allow that year in and year out. Bottom line. Bottom line. Enough. Enough. I'm not saying they should be a playoff team year in and year out. I'm not saying you should score 30 points a week. I'm not saying you should have a top offense. I'm saying you should have a functioning one once in a while. You watch guys play like, I mean, okay, he's got McLaurin. Jaden Daniels. Like, that's it. I mean, that's it. Who are the weapons all these quarterbacks have that you think, like, again, they don't score points in their building ever. This isn't just a weak offense. It's a disgusting one that doesn't score points ever at all. When you pay the quarterback the money he's been paid, I don't care about anything else. Quite literally, hear me loud and clear. I don't care about anything else. He's got enough weapons. He's got enough of an offensive line to score more points than this. And he's always had that. Have there been the occasional game? Yes. Opening day last year, against the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, they were completely overrun. I'll give him that game. He had no chance in that game. Fine. He played another 5 games. Are there the occasional games where he's given no chance? Yes. But week in, week out, year in, year out, it's the same crap, and we defend him for God knows what. Because we like him? Because he's tough? Because the rest of the team sucks? That doesn't excuse it. Any other good quarterback would do more. Do more. I mean, it drives me nuts that we still get these calls that defend him. I mean, Tyler Haneke does more. I mean, I can go through the list of guys who've scored more points, and don't tell me they've been on better teams. It's the same. They're crap, too. I mean, it drives me crazy, the amount of Giant fans who feel the need to defend this guy. And then there's the opposite to it, too. There, you know, the rankings come out and, you know, Drake May's never taken a snap. He's ranked higher than Daniel Jones. And, you know, it goes the other way. He gets too much blame. Totally agree. Like, sometimes it goes beyond. And I'm more in the middle, but the idea you have to defend him and constantly give me the offensive line. And, well, if he was on the 49ers or if, you know, like, what he's been given with the New York Giants is not enough to be uber successful. It's enough to be better than going 600 days without a touchdown in their own building. It's better than that. It's better than that. Whether it was Saquon Barkley or whether now it's Neighbors and some of the other weapons he has, Wandell Robinson, that's enough. Neighbors, Wandell Robinson, Tracy, that's enough to score some points and be a functioning offense. It's enough. Brian Daboll is a play caller for a Buffalo team that, you know, Stephon Diggs tells you he's a genius, and he helped develop Josh Allen into one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I refuse to believe he's such an inept play caller when I watch flea flickers have guys running wide open down the field, and he can't even throw it, let alone hit them. But that's probably the offensive line. And that's Pat Shurmur, and that's Joe Judge. And that's all the things that have been stacked against Daniel Jones. So he's incapable of ever throwing a touchdown pass. He's incapable of ever scoring 30 points. What could you possibly expect, Chris? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Come back, continue to take your phone calls. We'll get into some other topics. We'll talk about the Jets. Obviously, they have some games. It's a football Friday. We'll give you some picks later in the show. And we will talk a little bit of baseball. The awards dinner or something was up with MLB tonight. We saw some guys who've made first team. I guess I don't even remember. Fleegs, do you even remember first team MLB players? It feels like an NFL and NBA thing. I don't ever remember like being first team, but there's some MLB first team players. Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Lindor. So we can get into some of those awards. The Hank Aaron Award goes to Aaron Judge, which again, for some reason, I feel like this conversation needs to be said as we're waiting for Juan Soto to make a decision. I totally think that Juan Soto deserves more money than Aaron Judge. When he's hitting free agency, the age he's hitting free agency, all of it. He deserves, warrants, and should get more money than Aaron Judge. But make no mistake, Aaron Judge is the better player. He's the better player. And I feel like I have to, like, there's been a bunch of people who, like, give me this weird look when I say it. Go by any numbers you want. He's the better player.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 126. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. A couple of Yankee things we can do here. First off, congratulations to Dave Sims, as Dave is going to be the new voice of Yankee baseball here on the Fan, doing the radio calls. Obviously, Dave has a long history with WFAN, the midday show with Eddie Coleman, Soul Man and the Coal Man, to the beginnings of this station. So it's going to be funny. I think he's a tremendous announcer. I think he does a terrific job. He's been the voice of Seattle for 18 years. And he's coming back home to work for the New York Yankees. So congratulations to Dave. I look forward to hearing him. I can't wait for baseball season to start. And then the other news with the New York Yankees is Tampa Bay announced today, or it was announced today, that Tampa Bay is going to play their home games at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. Obviously, the roof damaged in the hurricane in St. Pete is $55 million worth of damage. It's incredible to me, the roof. It's that much damage to the building. I don't even know if they ever do it. Like, because they have plans to have a new building in St. Pete. I don't know if they would put $55 million into fixing a building they planned on replacing anyway in the next coming year. So this could be a thing at Steinbrenner Field for the Tampa Bay Rays for a while. And the Yankees are going to get, approximately, $15 million from the Rays for allowing them to play at Steinbrenner Field. So I know exactly where that $15 million should go. Now, I don't know where it will go, but I have an idea where it should go. Right into Juan Soto's pocket, that's where. But that should be fun, because now that's a trip. Now that's a trip. Not that St. Pete wouldn't have been tripped if you were around, but like to go right in Tampa, if you're a Yankee fan, Steinbrenner Field, go see Yankees and Rays at Steinbrenner Field. Now, there's only 11,000 seats, so what used to be a trip for many people who liked indoor baseball, I remember Fleegs says it all the time, right? You're a big indoor baseball guy.
After you experience it, it becomes the only way to see a game again.
Comfortable?
Indoor everything, baseball, yeah. Football, climate controlled, beautiful.
Yeah, I hear you. Used to be able to get real cheap tickets for a Yankee game, go down, sit behind home plate for the same as sitting in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium, and now with an 11 seat, yep, there's only 11 of them, 11,000 seat arena, it's going to be a little bit, stadium, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. The prices might shoot up, I don't know, a little bit more supply and demand issues, but to watch those games there, that should be fun. That's a trip. The first thing I'm going to look at is when the Yankees go to play the Rays, see if I could schedule anything. Because next year, this December, will be my 9th wedding anniversary. Next year will obviously be my 10th. And we want to go to Key West for one of these two. So they have that ferry that takes you from, I forget which port it is on that, the West Coast. There's like a Morocco or something else, but there's like a ferry that will take you. It's a couple hour trip from the West Coast of Florida down to the Keys, around Tampa, to the Keys. And that sounds like a trip I want to make. Let's go see the Yankees play a couple games against the Rays. Go see Juan Soto out in right field at Steinbrenner Field. Take the ferry down to Key West for a couple of days. That's me planning a trip live on air. I don't know why I chose to do that. But sounds like fun to me. But $15 million to New York Yankees is a benefit to them. An extra money in Hal's pocket he didn't see coming. And we'll see how they invest it. And obviously the Juan Soto sweepstakes will start to heat up in the next few weeks. I mean, after Thanksgiving, I would expect it to be, and Thanksgiving's late this year. I think it's the 28th. So, I mean, right after Thanksgiving, we're going to be looking at those winter meetings upon us and the Juan Soto sweepstakes rapidly approaching. He's won first team all MLB, which I feel is like new. It doesn't sound like anything I remember, but him and Judge were both outfield first team. Francisco Lindor was second team all MLB at the shortstop position for your New York Mets. And Aaron Judge won the Hank Aaron Award. And again, maybe it's because I feel like the need to defend him after a poor postseason and dropping that ball in center field. And those two things are both accurate statements, and he'll never live it down until he wins a championship, Aaron Judge. But make no mistake, he's going to win the MVP for a reason, and it's not because he's worse than anybody else. It's because he's better than anybody else. I just feel like it needs to be said because he's going to get, you know, and rightfully so, he's going to get a lot of flack for what happened this postseason. But if you look at it under any circumstance, he gets on base more than Juan Soto. He hits for power, obviously, more than Juan Soto. He has a better batting average than Juan Soto. He's got better numbers with two strikes. So if you give me, he strikes out a little bit more. That's about it. And I shouldn't say a little bit more. He strikes out more. That's about it. The best hitter in the world is Aaron Judge. And a couple of bad weeks in the postseason doesn't change that. All it changes is his legacy. It changes how we view him, how we love him, how we celebrate him, which sucks. And he needs to figure it out. But it doesn't change the fact of the matter that he's the most dangerous hitter in the world. And that also doesn't change the idea that Juan Soto should be paid more than him. I don't understand the thought process of he's the captain, he's the better player, you can't pay somebody more than him. Sure you can. Sure you can. The next guy who's 26 years old, you absolutely can. And there also seems to be, I know I saw BT say something. I'm seeing Heyman put out something about all these teams are in on him, but would you still be in on him, you know, for a contract over 10 years? Like, what are we talking about? Yeah. Juan Soto's going to get 14 years. And with that, I think that it's locked to be 14. There's a chance it's 15. He's 26 years old. Yeah, he's not the most athletic guy. He's not a great defender. He might end up those last couple of years as the DH. Hey, he might end up half of that time by the end of it, a DH. But make no mistake, he's getting those years at 26 years old because he's going to be a great hitter for a decade. And if the last five suck, the last five suck. That's how it works. But I can't believe how many people have shown any sort of like hesitation to pay Juan Soto. And we'll see. Now, again, there are some reports. I saw Carrabas, who, again, former Barstool guy, works for, I guess, DraftKings now, but Boston Red Sox guy. I just saw him talking about the Red Sox. And I told you last night, I wouldn't say it's my biggest fear because I still don't think he's going to be anything but a Met or a Yankee. I don't care what anybody says. I know he's meeting with the Red Sox. He's meeting with Toronto. And all the reports are Toronto is heavily involved. And I'm sure they are. They were heavily involved in Ohtani. I think the owner has some money to spend. He's willing to spend it. I'm sure they're going to make a very compelling case and offer him a lot of money. I don't think he'll go to Toronto. He's talked about winning, and they just haven't won enough, to be fair. They just haven't won enough. They have not been a consistent winner. The Red Sox would be, in my mind, the worst place that he could go. It's the Boston Red Sox. It's still the bitter rival. I can't see him in a Red Sox uniform. It will make me sick to my stomach. I can live with him as a Met. I know people have a hard time with that. I know a lot of, you know, if he's in a Met uniform, I guess it bothers me. He's not a Yankee. That's the main, like, here's how I'll put it. If he's a Met, I'll be mostly upset he's not a Yankee. If he's a Red Sox, I might be more upset he's a Red Sox than he's not a Yankee. If you have to see him in the division, and again, what would that signify for a team that's handled business a lot differently over the last couple of years? They traded away Mookie Betts. They've been a pain in the butt to the Yankees, right? No doubt Devers owns them and owns Gerrit Cole. And they've played the Yankees relatively tough, but they haven't been a playoff team here, and they haven't spent a lot of money. They let Xander Bogaerts go. They traded away Mookie Betts. The only guy they've paid is Devers. If they're all of a sudden going to pony up and give $600+ million to Juan Soto, well, why would they stop there? Why would they stop there? I would assume that this means that they're going to start acting again like the Boston Red Sox. I know he's a generational player, and if you can get him, you get him. You know, he can make you a lot of money, maybe not the same level as Ohtani, but he can make you a lot of money as well, and it's always good to have those type of players. But at the same time, if they're really serious about winning, they need more than just that. But the thing that I've heard, and this has been a discussion, a lot of people want to talk about this, the thing that Carrabba said is that the people he's talking to, from hearing what Juan Soto wants in some of these meetings, that being the guy on the team means a lot to him. And that's the one thing the Yankees can't give him, and that's why I've brought up this who's the better player, because there is some concern. And it's been discussed, and that's what the Mets claim they can offer it to him, too. And I know Lindor is their leader. Lindor is going to be the runner-up in the MVP. Lindor just won all-second Major League Baseball player at short. But he would still be number one with the Mets, I suppose. You know, he's a better player than Lindor. He's a better player than damn near everyone else in Major League Baseball, except with the New York Yankees. And as great a year as he had, is that something he doesn't? Is he concerned he's playing second fiddle to an MVP captain of the team? And with the Yankees, the captain, I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything with any other team. I'm not trying to say that. But like, we just know what it is. It's not the NHL. It's not like every team has a captain. Although maybe a lot of them do, the Yankee captain is different. So you've got the Yankee captain who is the best player in the world, and if you want to be the guy for the next 4 or 5 years of your contract, you're not going to be. So I don't know if that plays a role. I guess that makes me a little bit nervous, because that's the one thing that every other team that's meeting with him can sell him on. The Dodgers can't sell him on it, but every other team, the Mets, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, all of them can sell him on, you're the face of the franchise. You're the guy. The New York Yankees are one of two teams, right? I guess that's it. I'm trying to think of other teams that could. It's the Dodgers and the Yankees are the only two teams that can't sell him on that. Who can't tell him without question, you're our guy, you're our leader, you're our best player, you're our number one guy. You're the star of this team. But I find it hard to believe that that's something that would weigh that much for Juan Soto, that he would not want to play alongside these great players. I mean, you got to win, too. And he's talked about how winning is important. But we'll see. But the New York Yankees have allowed the Tampa Bay Rays to play in their spring training stadium, George Steinbrenner Field. And they're going to get $15 million for it. So we'll see. And again, I think it's probably going to be a multi-year thing. Because why would they fix a roof for $55 million in a building they're not going to keep? It doesn't seem like a smart thing to do. So I would think this would be maybe they switch it up if it doesn't go well at Steinbrenner Field. I'm sure it will. It's a great facility. The Yankees have put a ton of money into it. It's right in the middle of Tampa. It's right in the middle of what their fan base probably is. I mean, I think they're averaging 15,000 people. I think I read the story. They're averaging 15,000 fans a game, and this is an 11,000. So they might actually play in front of a full crowd, which might feel a little bit different. But I think those games are going to be fun. That's the first thing. As soon as I throw the break here in a second, I'm going to go look and see when the Yankees are playing Tampa. 888-808-1019. A little bit of baseball. I wonder if you guys think of Dave Sims. I think he's done a tremendous job. You listen to some of the calls, especially the call. I'll see if I can find it on YouTube. The call of the home run that sent them to the playoffs 2 years ago and broke the streak of the longest playoff drought in baseball. They hadn't been to the playoffs since 2001, when they had the best record in the history of the sport and lost in the ALCS to the New York Yankees. That's the last time they were in the playoffs prior to 2 years ago. And was it Raleigh or someone hit a home run, and Sims' call was just unbelievable in that moment. I think he's terrific. I'm looking forward to hearing him. I can't wait for baseball season to start. I think all the guys who filled in, I think You know, and I know the reports are it came down to him and Ricky. I think Ricky does an incredible job. I think Ricky is really great. I thought Smooth Jazz was fun. I think he's got that theatric type thing that John Sterling has. Because let's be honest, John Sterling, I love John Sterling. We'll always love John Sterling. I wish him well in retirement. And it was a great thing. I was so happy he came back and finished this year and went through and got back into the World Series for a final time. But forget all the, you know, the mistakes that came later in his career. Like, he was never about, I mean, he would have great calls where it was nuts and bolts and you knew where everything was and it was the great word picture. But, like, he was about the big moment and the energy and the theatrics. And I really feel like Ricky brings the classic technique and just solid, you know, play-by-play, but also has a little bit of that theatrics to him. But it ends up, I think they did a great job. And then obviously Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Babari, I thought, did great this year filling in for him. But I mean, Sims is a voice the station's very familiar with. He's been an extremely successful broadcaster. I think he's terrific at his job. And I think he's going to do unbelievably well. And him and Susan are going to be a great team. And here's the call that 2 years ago sent the Seattle Mariners back to the playoffs for the first time in, what, 22 years? So here's the call. I think I remember it very well. It's an excellent call. And here's what we're going to have to look forward to with the New York Yankee radio broadcast right here on The Fan.
The pitch from Acevedo. A drive deep to right field. Down the line. The Mariners win this game 2-1. The dream lives. They're going to the playoffs. The drought is over. Cal Raleigh. Wow. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
Are you kidding me, Cal Raleigh? He gets a slider and hits it off the windows out there for his 26th home run of the year. That's right. The party is going on. Congratulations to the Mariners. A long season gets paid off with a trip to the postseason.
That is beautiful.
That is beautiful. All right. Yeah. No, that's a great call. He's got energy. He's got a great voice. And he's a familiar voice to the station here. And it's a full circle thing for him. Couldn't be happier for him. I'm looking forward to him and Susan starting this thing up in spring training. Let's get there. And we'll see how this team goes about building. And I'll tell you right now, I know exactly what I want to do as the second move to what Juan Soto brings. After Juan Soto comes back to the New York Yankees, I know exactly where I want to go second. But we'll talk a little football, too, in the Jets. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And the Colts coming up.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 148, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. You can hit me up on Twitter, at CMACWFAN. As I got one thing about, you're turning into Evan Roberts, taking your, weaving baseball into your anniversary trip. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's that bad. One, my wife loves baseball, believe it or not. She's a huge, even in a previous life with a, you know, previous other in her life, she used to go to baseball games. She's been to more stadiums around the country than I have. She loves baseball. It's the one sport she loves. Football, I can't get her to watch for 2 seconds. And she has a lot more. The Giants don't help. It's really painful to force her to watch the Giants. She has no interest in football, really, or anything else. Basketball, hockey, no interest. But she does like baseball. And she wants to go to Key West. She's been there a couple times. She loves it. She wants to take me to Key West. I want to sit at a bar and drink all day. That's what I want to do. That's the idea of my vacationing. It is Football Friday. We'll get into the Jets here a little bit. How about this one thing? How about a name that's been bandied about for coach moving forward next year at the New York Jets taking another job already? John Gruden. I know Gio's been talking a lot about it. It's been out there in the ether that he might get back into coaching. Would be an offensive coach for the New York Jets. Meets a couple of requirements people like, right? Experience, Super Bowl champion, offensive coach, offensive guru to some people. Big name, a little bit of a splash for Woody Johnson. Someone who's desperate enough, you would think, to take almost any job offered him. So there are reasons why it sort of makes sense, John Gruden to the Jets. Well, John Gruden just took a job, and he is now working for Barstool. And he was live streaming the Thursday night game. And Barstool is pumping this big. I mean, they are very excited to have John Gruden. Very excited. And he was watching the game, telling stories, cursing, having fun, talking about how the fans would get on him and scream, "You suck, Gruden," and all that stuff. So I don't know what he's going to do for them exactly. I don't know if it precludes him from taking an NFL coaching job. I would imagine it doesn't. I would imagine somewhere in the contract, if he gets a head coaching job, he can leave. Like Deion Sanders was working for Barstool too, right, until he got the Colorado job. I would think there are jobs that it's not. I don't think this means he can't be the next head coach of the New York Jets. But the idea that John Gruden is working for Portnoy and Barstool is something else. And he better be careful, because you don't want to do anything else unsavory, for lack of a better term, to get you in more trouble. But that was an interesting story. And then the Jets lose their kicker. I mean, only the Jets. Only the Jets have a kicker on the practice squad, who kicked for them last week, did a good job. Only the Jets have the kicker on the practice squad. They actually have two, so they'll have a kicker this week. But they're waiting all week, I would think, for money purposes, right, Fleegs? Is that the only reason why they didn't have him on the active roster just yet?
Well, no, they would have had to cut somebody from the active roster.
They would have had to cut somebody from the active roster. But that's coming anyway, right?
So, no, he could have been elevated.
You just get elevated. Right, I'm sorry, right. You get elevated game day. So they didn't want to cut anybody. They're waiting for him to just get elevated game day. And Harrison Butker goes down for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they scoop him up. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, I don't think it really matters. I think they'll be fine. At least they'll have a legitimate kicker going into the game, but only the Jets will lose their kicker to the Chiefs. And think about that. He goes from being a guy waiting to be elevated by the New York Jets to kick for a 3-7 disaster team that everybody is furious with and is falling apart. And he gets to go and be with the undefeated, two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
And it was his choice, if you saw the Rich Cimini report, because when he was contacted that from the Chiefs that they wanted to sign him to the active roster, any player on a practice squad can be signed to someone else's active roster.
Sure.
The Jets offered him their spot, and he said, "No, thanks. I'm going to go kick for the team that hasn't lost in almost a year."
Yeah, I would think Schrader would rather go there. Did offer him the spot.
Even though he knows it's only for a few weeks.
So now, it must have been, did they offer it to him first, or was he waiting for possibly someone else before accepting it? Or did he go to the Jets and say, "The Chiefs just offered, oh, we'll offer you too"? Is that how
I believe the Jets were, the way from understanding how the transaction wire works, Jets were informed the Chiefs had offered him the spot.
Right.
And then they said, "We'll also put you on the active
the
roster."
The Jets, in an attempt to keep him, that's how Rich Cimini puts it. So yeah, in an attempt to keep him. Jets, in an attempt to keep Schrader, which means they knew they were going to lose him, did offer him a spot on the 53. He opted to go kick for an undefeated team. Yeah, I would think.
It's amazing. Even knowing that in three, four weeks,
that is a good
gone.
Point. Yeah, that is a good point.
That's how much better. I mean, listen, the Chiefs are than almost any other situation, but yeah, it's a no-brainer. You're going to be kicking on the biggest stage and spot under the spotlight for a few weeks.
Yeah. But that's true. Theoretically, he could have just had the Jets kicking job the entire season, and they expect Butker to be back in 4 to 5 weeks. And obviously, they would go. I don't know. I don't think Schrader could kick well enough to take Harrison Butker off the. As soon as he's healthy, he's going to go back to being their kicker. But it just seems like one of those stories where it's just like, especially with Greg DeLeg and the issues they've already had at the kicking position. To have a guy on their practice squad that they used last week, that they were going to use this week, to be scooped up by the Chiefs. It's just, I mean, what's his name? I always forget his name. The the kicker they had in camp that they decided to go with.
Austin Seibert.
Austin Seibert, yeah.
Hurt for the Commanders right
now. He was hurt for the Commanders right now, but he, up until being hurt for the Commanders, was the most accurate kicker in the league this year. And at the last minute, they decide to stick with Zuerlein, and he gets picked up by Washington, and he was the most accurate kicker in the league before getting hurt. And then they pick up a kicker in this game who I'm listening to the radio broadcast on Westwood One as I'm driving in, and Ian Eagle's telling me that he hasn't missed a kick from 40 yards in his last 15 attempts. It's the longest stretch in the NFL. How is that? How is the guy who's had more consecutive 40-yard field goals does not have a job in week 11?
And he hasn't been in the NFL in like 2 years.
How is that possible? How could you be out of the NFL having not missed a kick from 40 yards on? 40 yards deeper. That's amazing to me. That guy is still available to be picked up. I mean, the Commanders, they got something going on there, although they lost this game, and Dan Quinn is a terrible head coach. I'm sorry. That's the only thing that makes me feel a little bit better about the idea that this Commanders team is on their way to becoming a force inside this division, and Daniels is going to be a great player. It doesn't really soothe me all that much. It doesn't comfort me all that much, but I am a little bit, there is a little bit of a, okay, at least it's not a disaster, because I don't think the head coach is good at all. I don't think Quinn was a good head coach with the Falcons. I think he had a couple of really great years as the coordinator, the defense coordinator for Dallas, but even that came to an end. And I don't believe him to be a good overall head coach. So hopefully that will come to fruition with the Commanders here. And I feel like it did last night, because I thought that was a horrendous decision. Down 2 points with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And Elliott, the Eagles kicker, had missed 2 field goals and an extra point. You've got to take the chip shot field goal. I understand you want to go for touchdowns. And typically, most of us want the coach to be aggressive. And we're always yelling about, oh, go get the touchdown. Don't settle for a field goal. To go up a point with 7 minutes left, when you've kind of stymied, at that point you've stifled their defense, they've given up 13 points in the game, or 12 points rather in the game. At that point, before the 2 touchdowns from Saquon Barkley, they've given up 12 points in the game. They've played them pretty tough. Everyone expected, you know, A.J. Brown to have a big game against their man defense. They kind of went too high safety a little bit. They changed it up a little bit. They were holding the Eagles down. Excuse me. They were holding the Eagles down, and they had an opportunity to go back up by a point, 7 minutes left, and force an Eagles kicker in Elliott who missed 3 kicks, including an extra point in the day. Like, you have to take those points. You have to take those points. It was just ridiculous.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.